This is Pastor Brenda Spann coming to you once again on the Now Network broadcast. The psalmist declares in 119, that word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, bless his name. Whose word is a lamp unto my feet? God's word. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his name. I am so excited for the word that's going to go forth today. I know that you're going to truly, truly be blessed. Today we'll be coming from the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter. And we're going to take a look at the when Jesus walked on water. Oh, my goodness. When Jesus walked on water. We're just going to take a look at when Peter decided that he wanted to walk on water. And let's see what's going to happen. Many times we have the childlike faith, and we begin to walk out, just like Peter did, walk out and walk on water. But then something around us began to start distracting us. They're causing us to have fear and doubt. And guess what happened? I'm going to hold that. Guess what happened when distraction comes, when you begin to start moving forth, when you begin to walk in the faith that God has called you to walk in, or whatever God has told you to do, or start a business, or whatever it may be. You begin to start walking in faith. You begin to start walking in faith. And what happens when distraction comes? What happens when you when finances get low? What happens when you begin to start taking your eyes off God? We're going to see what happens today to the disciples when they took their eyes off God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we honor you. We glorify you. We give you praise and we give you honor. We come here to lift you up, God. We come here to magnify your name, oh God. We ask that you bless everyone that are listening today, God. We ask that you give them a 30, 60, 100 fold in return. Lord, we ask for a harvest to take place. We ask for the fruit of the Spirit to take place on today, God. Lord, we ask that if anything that's not of you, oh God, we ask that you pluck it up from the root, oh God. We pray against every schemes and devices of the enemy today to try to come against your people. We pray against oppression and depression in the name of Jesus. You said in your word that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. We thank you for the spirit of peace today, God. We thank you for the spirit of self-control today, God. We thank you for the spirit of joy today, God. We thank you, Lord. Those that are going through today, we ask that you look upon their needs, oh God. You said that whosoever call upon you shall be saved, God. You said that you will be with them in their time of trouble, Lord. We thank you right now, God. We get glorify you. We believe in your word, oh God. We know that your word does not return void, oh God, but it shall accomplish whatever you sent your word, oh God. You said in your word also, Lord, that at the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he's Lord. We thank you. Lord, we honor you and we give you praise and glory. Many are seeking healing today, oh God. We ask that you strengthen them in the areas that they are weak, oh God. We ask them for complete healing, complete wholeness to take place on today, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Today, again, our scripture will be coming from the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter. We're going to start at the 22nd verse, and we're going to end at the 31st verse of the 14th chapter of Matthew. Oh, I know you're excited today for this Bible study. I know I am excited. So the Bible declares that in this chapter here, we see that Jesus was doing a whole lot. He was healing people. And at this time, he had just fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Oh, my goodness. He had just fed 5,000 men with children and women and children. He fed them with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Fed 5,000 people, men, plus women and children. Oh, hallelujah, bless his name. You know, God is bad like that. He can do the impossible. It's nothing too hard for God. And if you're going through something today, believe in it. Believe that it's nothing too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for God for him to do. We can just look around and see his creation. We can see how he set the sun, how he set the moon in the sky. You know, I walk out many, many days looking at the beautiful things that God has created. And then, you know, many times, all we have to do is look at ourselves. We all we have to do is look at ourselves, how God has made us. Oh, hallelujah. God is awesome. God, nothing too impossible for him. So if you believe in that God, believe in God for something today, continue to believe. Nothing's too big, nothing too small for God. Believe that God is going to do what he said he would do in his word. We have to trust God. And in spite of what it looked like or how it looked or whatever, we still have to trust God. Okay, so we're going to take a look in the 14th chapter of Matthew. And so we said that before this, the disciples got on the boat, Jesus had just fed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And so after this took place, the Bible says immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified. Peter was terrified, and he began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Oh, hallelujah. I need to read that again. When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. We even have a God that he controls the wind, okay? He controls the storms, especially the storm that goes on in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. And it said, Jesus said, "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Oh, hallelujah. "You really are the Son of God," as they exclaimed. And so Matthew 14 says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people away. Okay, as he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. He went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Okay, there was many times when Jesus separated himself from others for the purpose of prayer. It was many times when Jesus went out and prayed by himself. He went to a solitude place and he prayed to God by himself, okay? Jesus knew that it was important to spend time with God in prayer. The alone time, we have to realize as believers, the alone time with God is intimate. This time draws you into the presence of God, okay? And so, many times, we're praying corporate prayers, we're praying with others, but it's the alone time with God where you get your answer. Many times, you know, when I go into my closet and I pray, my closet means my private area when I pray, a lot of times I get the answer that I've been, you know, before I get the answer that I've been asking God for. Okay. And so it's a long time. It's spending the quality time with God that draws you into the presence of God. This is the time that you cry out to God and tell him all about your struggle. Many times we go through a lot of things, and this is a time God wants you to talk to him. I always say this. God wants you to fellowship with him. Sometimes we are so distracted with so much things around us that God just only wants to talk to you, you alone, okay? And so this is a time of worship. This alone time is a time of worship to God, a time of thanksgiving, a time of gratitude. We begin to start telling God how much you love him and how much you adore him, and start confessing your sin. He said, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you up from all righteousness. That this is a long time where you can dig in real deep and tell God your deepest secrets, okay? Well, we know that everything that goes on with God, goes on with us, God already knows, amen? But God wants us to express ourselves to him when we come into his presence to pray to him, come into his presence alone and to pray with him. Sometimes this is a time of refreshment, a time of newness, when we come into the presence of God. Many times when you leave from the presence of God, you are not the same way as you went in. Come on, I have to say this again. Many times when you come out of the presence of God, many times you are not the same way as you went in into praying with praying to him. Because many times when we go into praying to God, we have so much stuff that's going on in our lives. There's so much stuff that's weighing us down. And so when we go into the presence of God, the Bible said we can go boldly into the presence of God, that we should ask whatever we want in the time of our need, okay? So a lot of times when we go into the presence of God, we are heavy. We got a lot that's going on in our lives, and we need to release it to God. So when you're coming out of presence of God, you're not the same way. You're lighter. You have a glow that comes on you that demonstrates that, you know what, I have strength, and I'm ready to fight any battle the enemy has in store for me. I'm ready to fight that battle. I'm ready to come up against the schemes, the plans, the plots of the enemy when you come from the presence of God, okay? And so it's important that we set our minds straight, that we, you know, a lot of time, like right now, I can give you a testimony right now about my life. Now, my life right now, I love just having a alone time with God. And so when you get to a place where you're not feeling like you are alone or I'm lonely, and you begin to enjoy just you and God one-on-one, when you begin to start enjoying that you can travel by yourself with God, okay? When you begin to start saying, oh, I can go to the movie with me and God, I can go to the movie. When you get to that place where you're content and you just want to be in the presence of God, that's all I want to do, just be in the presence of God, then that's when a transformation has taken place in your life. But when you still complain about you're lonely and you need a maid, I need this and I need that, then there's a problem that you're not content with God. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. But Jesus went away to a solitude place and he prayed often to God. That's one of the things that he did. He prayed to God. He spent time alone with God. And so meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Jesus is up in the mountain praying, okay? So we see that Jesus is up in the mountain praying, and all of a sudden his disciples, they're up there in the boat in a storm fighting waves. Jesus up in the mountain, again, I say praying, and he sees that his disciples is in trouble. He sees because he's omnipresence. He's God. He sees. He sees all things, okay? When God's children is in trouble, no matter where he is, oh, hallelujah, he is coming to rescue his child. I have to say that again. I don't know if you count this or not. But his disciples was in the boat. Jesus was on top of the mountain praying. And Jesus, seeing that his disciples was in trouble, okay, and Jesus went to his disciples. He did not get in a boat. He went in the water. He began to walk on water to rescue his children. The Bible says in Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and ever present help and trouble. There may be many strong winds. Oh, hallelujah. There may be many strong winds, and you may be fighting heavy waves. But God is your protector. You have to understand, you might be coming up against all type of stuff. Your job, the kids, and, you know, sickness, and, you know, one thing after another. But God is your protector. You have to be reminded that when the Hebrew voice was in the fiery furnace, okay, God did not deliver them from that, from the fiery furnace. What he did was he got in there with them. Oh, I don't know who I'm talking to today. God will wrap his arms around you while you're going through that stuff. And God will protect you from the hands of the enemy. Say, God is our refuge and strength, ever present help in trouble. There may be strong winds that may come up against you. You may be fighting battles. You may be fighting battles after battles, but I have to say, the battle has already been won. You may be saying, this storm is more havoc than the other storm. I know, I think I always say that too, like, oh my goodness, every storm is different. You might be going through one storm, even like, oh man, I don't remember going through this storm. No, you just have forgot about the last storm you went through. And you might be sort of saying that, you know what, this is a storm that's going to take me out. But someone needs to say today, but God will protect you from every storm in your life. I don't have to be honest with you. God will protect you from every storm that comes in your life. Okay, and it says that about 3 o'clock in the morning, a.m., Jesus came towards them walking on the water. Your Father, your shepherd, your provider came to rescue his children from that storm. I have, you know what, when I got the revelation of this, Jesus was up there praying. Disciples in the boat, far away from Jesus. Jesus heard. Just like God heard the Israelites being in bondage. He said that cry has come up unto me. He had told Moses, when he told Moses to go deliver the Hebrew children out of bondage, he heard their cry. God hears your cry. God is not too far that he cannot help you. He heard their cry. He heard that they was in trouble. And today you may be in trouble. You may be going through some things in your life that you say, you know what, can no one help me? But I'm here to tell you that God Almighty can help you. He's one person that can help you today. God heard their cry and came to their rescue. He did not get another boat. He did not get a ship. He did not get a car. But he began to start walking on the water towards his sheep to rescue them. The Bible talks about how a shepherd that cares for his sheep, he will leave the 99 sheep and go after that one sheep. God cares that you are in trouble today. The winds, the waves, the shore may be coming up against you. You might be oppressed and depressed today, but I'll tell you right now, God is the helmet of your salvation. And where there is fear, God will give you faith to come out of that thing that you're going through today. You have to stand firm and see the salvation of God and know that he is the God that fights your battle. In spite of what you're going through, you win. Oh, I need to say that again. In spite of what you're going through today, you win. You might be in the ship right now, coming up against heavy waves, but I'm here to tell you today that God hears your cry. He will rescue you. Just hold on to God. Hold on to him. He will come to rescue you. And the Bible said that he came about 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, my goodness. He came 3 o'clock in the morning, walking on the water. And said when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." You see, fear will make you see things that make you see things, will make you see images that's not real. Fear will cause you to feel degraded. It will make you feel, it will attack your self-esteem. Fear will tell you that you're not adequate to do what God has called you to do. I know that because I was one of them. Fear caused me to doubt if I had been called or not. It made me think things that was contrary to the word of God, contrary to what God had already told me that what he wanted me to do for him. Fear will lie to you. Fear will lie to you. Fear will tell you that you're not more than a conqueror. Fear will tell you that you will die. Fear will tell you that. But God has said that you are more than a conqueror, that you shall not die, but you shall live and see the salvation of the Lord. That's God's word. See, fear is opposite of God's word. Fear is opposite of faith. Doubt is opposite of faith. We have to trust God in spite of, I'm pretty sure many of the disciples came up against things that they was fearful. But one thing they did do, in spite of being fearful, they trusted God. And I'm here to tell you, in spite of what you're going through today, in spite of fear, I mean, I was heavy down with fear to the point that I was not even able to even do any public speaking. I would be so fearful what people saying about me, what people think about me. I would be so, I would try to talk my way out of speaking. I would be so, and my palms would be sweaty, heart beating fast. Fear will cripple you. Excuse me. Fear will cripple you. It will cripple you. It will destroy your future. It will abort the things that God has in store for you if you allow fear to dominate you. I'm here to tell you right now that you are released. You are delivered from fear. Just as God delivered me from fear, I know God can do it for you. One thing I began to start saying one day at a time, Brenda, just hold on to God's hand and believe what God said. In spite of what fear is saying, continue to believe what God is saying. And I'm here to tell you today, believe what God is telling you today. He said when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they was terrified and they cried out, "It is a ghost." Okay? And so we have to know that all this time that the disciples had been with Jesus, yet they thought Jesus was a ghost. All this time they had spent with Jesus, they thought all this time you would thought they would have knew who was Jesus when he began to start walking on the water. But yet they thought that he was a ghost. Okay? And so he said, but Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you," walking on the water. You see, Peter was expecting great things. Now, I have to always say, Peter He said, Jesus walked on water. He said, I can walk on water too. And in fact, Jesus said, the greater things that you would do than I. Okay? And so I like the fact that Peter got out the boat, okay, and Peter began to walk on water. Now, it's a great faith. It's a great faith. The Bible says in Matthew 17:20, if you have a faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I like the fact that Peter even just got out the boat, okay? He had a childlike faith. At least he had faith to get out the boat. And the Bible says that when he got out the boat, like many times, we began to start walking to Jesus, doing having faith and doing what Jesus has called us to do. And what Peter did, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. And so it says, Jesus told him, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw, like many times, like we do today, but when he saw the strong winds and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Peter took his eyes off Jesus. The same Lord that told you to come. The same Lord that told you to step out for no one other believe you. Is the same Lord that will save you when you began to sink. Oh, let me say that again. The same Lord that told you to come. The same Lord that told you to step out of the boat or told you to step out with no other ones believe you is the same Lord that would save you when you began to sink. Peter walked on water, but fear, like we let fear, we let doubt, we let obstacles, we let things that come that may hinder us, that will cause us to take our eyes off God. Relationships will take your eyes off God, especially unequal relationship will take your eyes off God. What I'm telling you today, Peter, he got out the boat. Even though he took his eyes off of God, he got out the boat. And I'm telling you today, get out the boat. Get out of your isolation place. Get out of fear today. Get out of doubt. Get out of worry. Get out of sickness, disease. Get out of all those things. Get out of it. Because we know that there's a God that fights our battles. There's a God that will turn your night into day. Many people, and I can only relate to my experience. Many people may be in a dark place. May wake up and it might be sunny outside, but in your mind, in your life, it's dark. I'm here to tell you that God will rescue you. So it said, but when he saw the strong winds and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. He took his eyes off Jesus. And then so Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Oh, hallelujah. When you think that you're drowning, God will grab you. Immediately, he will grab you. He said, you have so little faith. Jesus said, why did you doubt me? So we got to get, you know what, I am very convicted of this. We have to get out of doubting God. Sometimes we want God to come when we want him to come. We want God to rescue us when we want to be rescued. We want God to do all these things for us when we want him to. And because he doesn't come when we want him to come or do what he wants us to do, we begin to doubt that he's able to do what he said he can do. And that's not true. We have to have patience to trust that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. In spite of we waiting on him. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible said that Jesus grabbed him. Many times that we was in trouble, how many times did Jesus have to grab us out of that trouble? How many times did he have to grab us out of a sinking place or out of a drowning place? He said, when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. See, all you had to do was trust Jesus. When they climbed into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. It took all that to believe who Jesus said he was, the Son of God. They had to go through all that things. They had to go through all that to believe that God is able to do the impossible, that he's not a ghost, that he can come, that he's omnipresent, that he can walk on water, that he can save you. They had to go through all that to realize that he was the Son of God. Listen, don't wait until you start drowning to completely surrender your life to Christ. I don't know who I'm speaking to. See, some people want to straddle the fence. And God is saying that, he said, you know, shall we continue? Paul wrote this in the book of Romans. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? And then Paul will come back and say, no, God forbid. Many of you may be going through many things, or God even hitting things that you don't want nobody to know about. But I am here to tell you today that God knows all things. Remember, he's omnipresent. He was in the mountain praying to God while the disciples in the boat. He heard them cry. He's omnipresent. And I'm here to tell you right now, get out the boat, okay? It may be a lot of people that may be in a boat that wants to do things the way the world wants to do things. But God said that you are extraordinary. He said, I want you to get out that boat. I want you to get out that boat so I can protect you. God is so true. He's so real. He's so rich. God will show himself to you. We have to continue to trust God. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you enjoy the word today. Excuse me, I've got a little something going on, but God bless you. And I will see you next week.
And turn the other cheek. and walk the extra mile, and give and give and give and give again, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Almighty God.